Hi, this is Giovanni. You've heard me on the radio for years, and now I want to invite you to listen to my new podcast on the iHeartRadio app. It's called The Art of Improvement. You can download it on the iHeartRadio app. We talk about entrepreneurship, improving your life, your career, and believing in yourself. One of my favorite quotes is from gold medalist Michael Phelps. There will be obstacles, there will be doubters, there will be mistakes, but with hard work, there are no limits. It's called The Art of Improvement. Download it now by Giovanni Murata.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. Also, the live video stream is there for hours number one and three. Hour number two, of course, on Newsmax TV. The Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Friday. Strings, please. Where are my horns? Hey, she's back. It's Carrie Lockie. How are you, Carrie?
Hey, fine. Did you miss me?
Are you all refreshed? Do you have a tan? Are you hungover? What's going on?
No, I'm not hungover.
Hey, where's Bob Guthrie?
Friday.
Here he is. Thank God it is Friday. Absolutely.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it is Friday.
You know what? I'm in that kind of mood. Got the Lockie back, so we might as well make it a free speech Friday, right?
I know you're happy.
Freedom. Yeah, Carrie, as much as the audience misses you, I miss you even more. I'll be the first one out there to tell you. No
really?
More of this crap with you taking all these days off. No,
well,
I need it.
Well, you know, it's summertime. I got to take some vacation.
Even though you nap more than most people do?
I do. I work very, very hard. You got a one-day work week today, man.
Are you going to be all right?
I don't know. I got 3 hours. I don't know if I can do it. I'm going to try.
Let's see if we can make it happen. And by the way, happy anniversary to you. Hey, 20 years, I can't believe you've been so long. Happy anniversary to you. Come on, everybody. Happy anniversary, dear Carrie. Girl, anniversary. All right, 20 years, huh?
I know. Can you believe it? I was 12 when I started here.
Actually, you weren't. We actually went back and checked.
I was close.
And it turns out you were 33.
I was not. No,
listen,
no.
Whatever it takes.
I'm not 53.
God bless you. You're supporting your family, and I support that. I think your ambition was great. What's funny is, and again, congratulations. That's crazy. In our business.
I was going to say,
I've been in the building 13 years, and that's ridiculously long.
Mm-hmm.
You've been 20?
20.
I mean, seriously, that is major kudos.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I mean, Karina wasn't even born when you started working here.
That's
which
depressing.
I think is amazing.
That's really depressing.
So,
thank you.
So there you go. So congratulations. That's very smart of the company to keep you around that long. But no, I miss the hell out of you when you're not here.
Really?
And what's funny is there was a station and a program director, guy I've got a lot of respect for, listening yesterday. He picked up the weekend not long ago, my show on the weekend. Are you going to show up tomorrow because you're off all week because you can help me out with the weekend?
Oh, no. No.
So
it's just a one-day work week, buddy. I told
really?
You.
Really?
It's, I gotta, you know, ease
you
my
okay?
way
gotta,
into this.
Gotta do the whole day? You gonna be all right?
Yeah, I think so.
But he was listening and he said, is the show different during the week than it is on the weekend? And it is. It's decidedly different because of you, because of Polo, because of Karina, because of Sam. We have more of a morning show feel in the afternoon on the Joe Pags Show. The weekend is where it's just me. And that's enough, people. Don't give me a face. But we also play some of the interviews that we had during the week. And he's listening yesterday, and he writes me. He said, I don't hear her. Because I said, no, I've got my sidekick and my news anchor. Carrie Lockie is a big part of the show. I said, well, she's off. Oh, well, what's the... And I'm like, here's a link to some of the stuff that we've done, and you can hear the voice. And I think if we get the station, it's going to be because of your silky, chocolatey voice.
Oh, fantastic.
If we don't get the station, it'll be because he can't stand you. So this
no
is
pressure,
actually hinging
right?
on you. Right,
okay.
right. So if you
all
can,
right.
raise the game today.
Dude, I bring it every day when I'm not on vacation.
We were talking, Brian and I were talking. About 6 months, you haven't brought it.
Brian sure has not told
it.
Me anything like
not,
that. No.
Well, he's not going to tell you.
Bring
he's
it.
Afraid of you.
Every day. Oh, yeah,
but,
right.
But no, I'm happy to have you back. We're going to talk
Thank
a lot about
you.
A lot. I want to start out with something that's uber local here in San Antonio, but it was trending number one nationally on Twitter and still is, I think, number two. On Twitter right now, and it's the fact that there's Kawhi Leonard news. Now, for those who are not NBA fans, I'll give you a quick overview of who Kawhi Leonard is. Kawhi Leonard is a superstar forward. Some would say shooting guard, but I think he's a small forward for the San Antonio Spurs. He was a guy that was picked, I think, like 14th in the draft several years ago, I believe by Indiana, and then the Spurs traded George Hill to get Kawhi Leonard, and there were some other provisions in the deal, I think. And Kawhi really wasn't well-known. He's a guy from Southern California, and in these parts, we didn't know who the hell he was. But what we knew immediately was he was an early 20s guy, and he was a remarkable defender, not a great shooter, not even by a long shot, but when it came to defending, he was very, very good. Then all of a sudden, in the offseasons, he started working on his shooting, and he became, they keep on saying, a two-way player, Kerry, which I think is kind of a misnomer.
Mm-hmm.
When you play, and again, this is not a sports show, but this is a story that is grabbing national attention. So I want to talk about just a tad. Bottom of this hour, by the way, it'll be U.S. Senator Ron Johnson calling in live to talk about the Trump-Kim summit. We're going to talk about Right to Try, which was a bill that he was behind. It's now passed. We're going to talk about the economy, going to talk about trade, all of that stuff. Make sure you stick around. We'll have U.S. Senator Ron Johnson bottom of the hour. But Kawhi Leonard was this very quiet guy. What's interesting is if you go back and check out his YouTube videos when he was in college, he wasn't this quiet guy.
So oh, really? I didn't
know
that.
Or if this is, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, very, very
always so quiet.
Great sense of humor. And not as quiet as he is here, but whatever. Here, he's not a big media guy, and that's right. Actually smart to play in a place like San Antonio if you don't want to be a big media guy. He got injured during the playoffs last year. The Spurs were up by 24 or 26 points against the Golden State Warriors, who went on to win a championship, when Pachulia, one of the players for the Warriors, stepped underneath Kawhi when he was coming down after shooting a three-point shot. Hurt himself, or it hurt Kawhi. They actually changed the rules in basketball because that play was illegal. And Leonard had been out because of a knee, because of an ankle is what they were saying last year. Then in the offseason, we're getting ready, getting geared up for him to come back. He doesn't come back. Doesn't start the season. Doesn't play any of the preseason games. Ends up getting into the game, but only played 9 games out of 82 this year. And you don't hear anything from him. And you don't see him at the Spurs sideline anymore. You don't see him on the bench. You don't see him supporting the team. Then you start hearing that the Spurs, and this wasn't the ankle thing anymore, some sort of a thigh issue. The Spurs were saying, well, we've cleared him to play. But his team, I guess he's got a team of people around him, they say he's not ready. And then instead of rehabbing here in San Antonio with the Spurs, he's in New York rehabbing somewhere, because I guess you can only do this kind of rehab in New York or something. And you start hearing stories about, you know, that he's got an uncle that's in his ear and got this thing happening over there. I don't know anything about, I don't have any inside information from the Spurs anymore. When I decided to make commentary about Coach Popovich and his politics and about how he was seeking the spotlight to answer questions about politics and how denigrative he was about our president, I decided to make commentary on that, give a reaction to that. And I said it when I said what I said on the radio and on Facebook and elsewhere, that I knew that it probably would hurt my relationship with the Spurs. It has. I haven't heard from the Spurs at all in many, many months. And I wasn't invited to play the national anthem this year. But, Kerry, when I did it, I said, I probably won't be invited back when
you
I do
did.
This.
Yeah, that's true.
I had a decision to make. Either I could just be quiet and allow Coach Popovich to say whatever he wants. And, again, it's not up to me to allow him to, but allow that to pass by without commentary. Or I can react. And I've got a different opinion than he does on this president, this administration, and the good things he's doing. I thought that the coach was a First Amendment guy enough and a freedom of speech guy enough, and the Spurs organization knew that I was a friend enough, that they'd be able to take some criticism and some commentary back. I guess not. But all that aside, when it comes to Kawhi Leonard, I'm just giving you my opinion. I don't have any inside information from the Spurs, whereas last year I might have. This is what I saw. A guy in his 20s who is a rising star in this league, who was second or third place for the MVP last season when he played the whole season. This season, he only played 9 games. He was nowhere in the running. He never came back from the injury, although there is no NBA, NFL, MLB team that's going to allow a star player to come back if they're not ready. There isn't a team that'll do that because it would hurt their investment, even if they don't care about the guy, and I think they do. It would hurt their investment. So they're not going to allow him to come back before he's ready. They said he was ready. His people, his team, kept saying that he wasn't ready. Well, fast forward to the playoffs ending, and Kawhi Leonard the star player on the team did not sit on the bench and cheer his team on in the playoffs. They lost in the first round to the Golden State Warriors. They did win a game, though, something LeBron James did not achieve this year, just saying. He wasn't even on the bench to cheer them on. And when questions were asked, why isn't he there? The answer was, he's in New York rehabbing. Well, shortly after the playoffs ended, guess who's spotted in Los Angeles at an LA Dodgers game? Kawhi Leonard. So he had the physical ability to go and fly to LA, but didn't have the physical ability to go to Golden State or to go to San Antonio to root on his team. Out of character, 2 star players for the Spurs spoke out against Kawhi not coming back, Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. They talked about his injury, that they wish that he was around. He's not around, though. We hope that he comes and plays, and he still didn't play. Well, today, this whole lead-up is to this. today it's announced that some sports reporter on CBS or Yahoo or ESPN, somebody, says that Kawhi Leonard says he's done in San Antonio, wants to be traded. Carrie, that is lighting up the social media.
I know it is. I know. People are ticked.
Karina posted a picture not long ago of somebody actually burning a number two jersey, a Spurs jersey. That is, listen, that's not something, I don't care if Pop's mad at me. I don't care if the whole damn organization's mad at me. I'm going to be real. This is not something that happens with this organization. This is looked at as the premier organization in all of sports. You've got the longest term coach in all of sports in Greg Popovich. So for this to be happening, there's something going on behind the scenes that we just aren't privy to. Or there isn't, and Kawhi just doesn't want to play here anymore. Kawhi Leonard was formed from a really good defensive player and a bit okay offensive player to one of the premier players in the league, a two-way player, offense and defense, although all players should be two-way players, and looked at as one of the top five in the league, no matter who you're including. That happened because he was nurtured in San Antonio by a very good organization that knows how to take people from pretty good to superstar. So the fact that he wants to leave is nuts. But what's even nuttier to me, Carrie, is that there are people online who seem to think this guy's going to go to L.A., to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Let me see how clear I can make this. And again, Pop might not even be aware of me. But believe me when I say the organization is mad at me. No matter what, I'm right about what I'm about to say, even if they denied it. There is no way Greg Popovich or R.C. Buford will ever let Kawhi Leonard go to a Western Conference team. Because that would hurt them. They would never do that. If they're going to compete against Kawhi Leonard, they want it to be fewer games per season. The Eastern Conference doesn't play the West as much. And maybe in the finals. But they're not going to help out their one of their chief rivals, the LA Lakers or the LA Clippers, by sending their star player, the star of the team. He's the best player on the team. Many would argue LaMarcus Aldridge might be. But they're not going to send him to a competing team. That would be stupid. So if A, if Kawhi does leave, and there's no guarantee they're going to trade him, they have him for another year at least, he doesn't have the right to leave until after another full season. But if they do trade him, it's going to be to somebody in the East. That's that. But all of this setup, and again, it's not a sports show. Karina, I'm not taking calls on what might happen with Kawhi Leonard in his career. It's not a sports show. But the reason I bring this up, Carrie, any idea why I brought this up?
I do not know why.
It's about loyalty to me.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I truly don't believe Kawhi Leonard would be the player he is had it not been for, you know, the guidance of a Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili and all these guys down the line, through the guidance of R.C. Buford, a great general manager, through guidance of an incredible coach in Popovich, through a player personnel guy like Tom James. I mean, these people took a guy that I know for a fact about 3 years ago, they were like, yeah, he's never going to be a 20, 30 point a night guy, and they turned him into that. And the thanks they get is when he's ready to make the Supermax or some humongous contract is, I don't really want to be there. Now, we didn't hear this from Kawhi. I've got to make sure that I couch all of this. We didn't hear this from Kawhi. We hear this from people who say somebody close to Kawhi said so. So he can dispel all of this by coming out and saying something. So can the Spurs. But it really does, to me, go to loyalty. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Motown Records. Motown Records made people stars. They were not easy. There was a very hard system there. It was extremely difficult. They all lived in a row of houses on Grand Avenue in Detroit. Here was the rehearsal room. Here was the dressing room. Here was the shower room. Here was where the guys stayed. Here's where the girls stayed. And they nurtured these people to make them the stars they became. And as soon as they had the opportunity with their stardom, their fame, and their talent, they left Motown and went to a different record company. It blows my mind, including the Jacksons, and Michael Jackson on down, including Stevie Wonder, including all these people that got up and left, which I thought was ridiculous. Where's the loyalty? Where's the understanding that I wouldn't be in this position? Listen, many people have asked me, Carrie, why I haven't left this company that we're in, mm-hmm. where our flagship is.
Right.
And there have been opportunities to do so. Because I feel a loyalty to the company, even if it's not reciprocated. And I think it is. But I feel a loyalty to the company. I feel like I wanted to achieve something and was able to through this company. This company gets the nod first before anybody else gets a shot. Why doesn't Kawhi see it that way? Is it his youth? Is it that somebody's in his ear? What is it? I mean, does what I'm saying make any sense? Again, forget sports. Loyalty as a whole. I just think that in life without it, without loyalty, respect, understanding of what you're gaining through this relationship, I think in life you fail if you don't understand those things.
Well, I agree.
And I wish Kawhi well, yeah. But let's be honest, he's a guy who's been injury-ridden for the past 3 or 4 years. So I don't know that he's who he thinks he is, or that he can be who he is in San Antonio elsewhere. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was just going to say I totally understand, because that's why I'm celebrating 20 years here.
20 years.
20 years.
And look, as good as you are, you could have left 50 times. And you didn't, yeah, because there were opportunities here. Even though you and I are going to go buy a truck half the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We
the other half
day,
the time.
Today.
It's okay. Yeah. It's good.
Pretty damn good. So listen, I want people's thoughts on loyalty. I want people's thoughts on somebody gaining favor, gaining stardom, gaining talent, gaining skills, and then saying, well, I'm out of here. If that's really what's going on, it might not be. But I know it's a free speech Friday, but Karina, I don't want to talk X's and O's and the future of the NBA and the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. That's not the show that this is. But I think this whole trending today, that became a topic to me of, well, when do you dig your feet in? I mean, Tim Duncan could have left 50 times and didn't. There's a reason why he didn't. He knew what he became because of this organization. And the organization would say, we knew what we became because of Tim Duncan. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hi, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, Free Speech Friday. Make sure you stop by. I've started something new. If you go to JoePags.com and click on Facebook, I have reactivated the send message button. So if you click on send message, that will send me a message on the page. I'm the only person that administers the page, so I'll see it. And it also sort of signs you up for this service that I can send you a message about what's coming up on the show. So there are about 80 or 90 people on there right now. But as you send me a message, I will daily, I'll try to anyway, along with the email list that I do from the website, I will send you a message with who we have on. Like today, in about 5 or 6 minutes, I'll have Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican from Wisconsin. And then bottom of hour number two, it'll be campus reform, some nuttiness on campus. We talk about that and some other stuff. So make sure you stop by. Again, JoePags.com. Click on Facebook. Click on send me a message. You can say something if you want, or just click through a message that you sent, and you'll be signed up for this thing where I can send you the occasional list of who's going to be on the show and the show topics. With Senator Ron Johnson, we'll talk about the bill that he was behind, which is Right to Try. And that's a very important one that got put through. Also the economy, also the Kim Trump summit, also the idea of the border, separating families, whatever. That's a big hoop to do right now, too. Let me quickly take a phone call. It's got to be very fast for me from Chris in Kansas City on loyalty. Quick mention on loyalty. Go ahead, Chris.
My quick mention on loyalty is about a belief system. I believe for somebody to be loyal, they have to have a belief system in something. For instance, I don't know if it's all about money, but people who followed Patton in World War II, people who followed Trump, and people who make decisions like Kevin Durant, who jumped teams, I think he had a belief system that he couldn't win where he was. So I think loyalty is tied to a belief system.
Well, I hear you, and I appreciate that, but I'll say this on that point. Kawhi Leonard has won a championship in San Antonio, and in fact, he was the MVP of the NBA Finals that year. So he knew that was possible to do it again here. Don't know what his issue is beyond that. Keep it here for Ron Johnson.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
UOAI.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also, the live video feed can be seen right there at the website. Make sure you stop by. We appreciate you. The Joe Pags Show on a Free Speech Friday. It's always an absolute pleasure to have back U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of the great state of Wisconsin. Ron, how are you?
Great, Joe. How about yourself?
I'm living the dream. It's always a pleasure to have you on, sir. And I believe we just added another station in Wisconsin, so we're covering just about the entire state now. But a lot of people, great, of course, are aware of you because you're a big proponent of good things for Americans. We'll get into the Right to Try in a minute. But let's start things out where everybody's talking. It's the IG report. The Inspector General puts out the report, and I think that I had, and you can tell me what expectation you had. I had the expectation that we might actually hear somebody say Hillary Clinton should have been charged with something. Instead, what we got was a report that basically said Jim Comey was really, really bad at his job. Tell me the overview, and then we'll get into some specifics from that report.
Well, the report certainly said that. The report's going to give my committee a bunch of information that we've been missing, which is helpful.
Yeah.
I never expected the IG to really come to real conclusions, because I never expected that, you know, James Comey would confess that, oh, yeah, no, this was all predetermined, and we just went through the motions, right, on the investigation,
right,
which, truthfully, is kind of what any normal person would take a look at the evidence, the bias in the FBI, and basically come to that conclusion.
Right.
But, you know, on page 147, agent number one is communicating with agent number five. And just a quick little quote, he said, to look for something conjured in a place where you can't find it, for a case that doesn't matter and is predestined.
Wow.
Now, that was written in February of 2016. So, you know, he explains to the IG inspectors that, nobody ever told me that this case is predetermined. But,
right.
You know, I would say it was just generally known culturally throughout the FBI that this thing was going to lead to exoneration. It was not a serious investigation meant to uncover the truth, but really more to cover it up and lead to exoneration.
It's U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of the great state of Wisconsin. Ron, I'm wondering, why do you think the IG, Michael Horowitz, why do you think that he says he doesn't find that the FBI was biased, and then he gives us all the information showing bias?
Well, what he says is he doesn't have any documented or testimonial evidence to prove that, you know, the bias actually resulted in, you know, different types of investigation decisions.
Okay.
But again, then he lays it all out. He shows how, for example, 39 senior FBI officials were made aware about September 28th that Anthony Weiner had Clinton emails on his computer.
Right.
And yet they did nothing for weeks. And he does talk about how when he interviewed some of those high officials, they basically gave four excuses that he found all four of those implausible. Again, so he uses certain language, you know, kind of like under McCabe.
Right.
They charge him with lack of candor. Well, for normal people, we say he lied. Okay. But this is a different, you know, it's a different universe.
Yeah.
In Washington, D.C., and they use different words, kind of skirt the truth. But normal Americans take a look at this and say, yeah, there's something really rotten in the FBI and Department of Justice, certainly during the Obama administration. And we need to find out and get to the bottom of it, which is what my committee is going to do.
Well, reading between the lines, obviously, that is the result that you get. Peter Strzok and his girlfriend, Paige, they were texting back and forth on, I guess they just thought it was cool to text on the FBI, you know, phones and say anything you wanted. But basically saying, I hope he doesn't make it. And then the other one responds, don't worry, that's not going to happen. And then we heard about a plan being in place before. We heard about in Andy's office, who we assume to be Andrew McCabe. Senator, do you think somebody's going to be charged with something here? It sounds like incredible obstruction, at least.
Well, Andrew McCabe has been referred to the Justice Department for possible criminal investigation.
Right.
Some of the characters in the IG report will be referred to the ethics officials at the FBI for potentially disciplinary action. I don't know where it goes beyond that. But, Joe, from my standpoint, the most important thing is the public knows what happened, that we expose exactly what happened in the FBI so we can return credibility and integrity of the FBI and Department of Justice. That's the whole purpose of my congressional inquiry into this, and that's what it should be the purpose of. And it's the top priority, quite honestly, not necessarily putting people behind bars, but restoring the credibility of these agencies.
You've got Clapper and Brennan and Comey and all these people right down the line who have been attacking President Trump, attacking the administration, talking about how pure and how honest and how above board everybody who works in intelligence is, and we should trust that, and why is he trying to undo these great institutions? And it turns out, just by this report, and again, there's a lot of flowery language that you've got to read between the lines on, but according to this report, there were major, major problems under the guidance of James Comey.
Absolutely. Just take a look at all the FBI contacts with reporters. Completely inappropriate. And that would be, by the way, the subject of another IG report on, you know, what the breakdown was there.
Yeah. I talked about this yesterday just to refresh people's memories. I mean, there are tons of FBI agents and I guess some higher level people in authority as well who were like in contact with the media a lot. They were getting free trips, getting invited to social, you know, gatherings that were private social gatherings. They were getting, you know, concert tickets and fly here and fly there. And this, now we understand the whole system of leaks, right? I mean, this is where we know where the leaks were coming from now, and they were coming because they were basically being paid off. Anything illegal there, or is it just unethical?
Well, certainly outside FBI guidelines. And again, we will wait for Michael Horowitz's Inspector General's report on that. You know, another report is spawned by this one. So again, we keep getting more and more information. The public will have the information. They can make up their own minds. From my standpoint, it's been pretty obvious for quite some time that this was not an investigation really designed to uncover the truth and lead to a prosecution.
It's Senator Ron Johnson, Republican, the great state of Wisconsin. So Hillary Clinton yesterday tweets out basically that she feels vindicated about my emails. I mean, she tweets out as if to say, James Comey was the bad guy the entire time. Look how badly he screwed me. I did nothing wrong. Any opinion on her even jumping into this fray right now?
Well, she shouldn't. She was held accountable, by the way. You know, James Comey is being held accountable. Andrew McCabe is being held accountable.
Yeah.
But the voters took a look at her past behavior, a number of different types of behavior, and they just rejected her. And so she has been politically held accountable, and I think that's appropriate.
It's Senator Ron Johnson, the great U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. Senator, the Trump-Kim summit, I'm confused by the left's reaction. They didn't want our president to meet with Kim Jong-un. They didn't want, because how dare you meet with an evil dictator? That'd be horrible. Then he cancels the meeting, and they say, I can't believe you're canceling peace. How horrible of you. And then he says the meeting's back on, and they say, man, it's disgusting. You want to meet with this guy. At this point, are you just resolved or resigned to the fact that you shouldn't even try to appease the left? Just do what you know is right. And this, by the way, getting peace and denuclearizing that entire peninsula and possibly finally ending that war, that's the right thing to do, isn't it?
Well, first of all, I don't think you should ever appease the left. you know, they've got the resistance movement. There's nothing President Trump could do. There's no good news that would be greeted with welcome arms by the left. So
right.
Just got to go about and do the right thing. And quite honestly, we've for a couple of decades been trying to deal with North Korea. Nothing has worked. President Trump is trying a different approach. And let's face it, his maximum pressure campaign brought Kim Jong-un to the table, hopefully in good faith. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, he will go there. He's over there. He knows exactly what the president means in terms of complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization.
Right.
Kim Jong-un understands that as well. It's going to be a tough negotiation, but we have a chance. And I'd much rather be talking to Kim Jong-un than saber rattling.
Yeah, and it appears if a deal can be made, and no deal has been made, nobody's given anything up yet. They met, they shook hands, they took some pictures. By the way, the president looked like the father, and Kim looked like the little boy wondering what to do next. I thought that he presented himself very well. Our president did. But nothing has been decided. As you said, there's no deal that's been made. But if a deal were to be made, Ron, it sounds like all he wants is to survive. It sounds like he's afraid that he's done if he doesn't do the right thing. And we get the remains of our soldiers back. We get a denuclearized peninsula where our friends in Japan and South Korea can feel better about life. And China, who might be friendly one day, they can feel better as well. We get an end to the Korean War, which is still, by the way, many people don't know this. It's not over. It's a ceasefire right now. If you get the end of the war, I mean, you're looking at the potential for peace. I don't know what it is that we're giving up. Do you know what the mainstream media is complaining about? Because I don't get it.
Well, I mean, the claim we've given Kim Jong-un, the stage.
So?
We've given him the recognition he's always sought. Well, he got the recognition by developing a nuclear capability and
coming
really close to having an ICBM that he could put it on top of and send it into our homeland.
Yeah.
So, you know, he that's what he did. And so we have to deal with that reality, and President Trump is trying to deal with it. President Obama was not able to.
Right.
And so let's pray that President Trump is successful. Let's not carp on the sidelines saying he's not doing it the right way.
But why wasn't there this kind of criticism? And I know why. It's kind of rhetorical. But when President Obama was doing the wave with Raul Castro, when he was sending $1.6 or $1.7 billion in cash on cargo jets into Iran, I mean, he was the appeaser in chief. This guy, our president now, is peace through strength. Why weren't they complaining about Obama, who did less than what Trump is doing as far as what we get for horrible, evil, regimes all over the world?
Because they're the left.
Yeah.
Like you said, Joe, it was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, it really was. I'm sorry about that. All right, let's get into something where I do need some answers. The right to try it. It's Senator Ron Johnson, Republican, the great state of Wisconsin. You were behind this. You wanted this. You explained it to my audience and me, I don't know, probably 6 months ago or so, and now it's come to fruition. Got to be very satisfying. Explain once again what right to try is and why it's so good for the people listening.
Well, it's a big win for terminally ill patients and their families who now have the right try a drug that has already passed the first safety phase one of FDA approval. And these individuals don't qualify for clinical trials. They have no other treatment option. Now it is those individuals that have been given the freedom to decide whether they want to try one of those drugs that doesn't have full FDA approval.
Right.
It's a decision between themselves, the doctor, the manufacturer, not a faceless bureaucrat at the FDA. So it's a big win. A little bit of freedom has been returned. A little bit of hope has been restored to terminally ill patients. A little bit of power is being away from the FDA, and that's a good thing.
Was there just some nutty regulation that told a terminally ill patient, you must die before we allow you to try something that might help?
No, the FDA has amassed all this power and simply does not give freedom to Americans that are desperate. They make those decisions for people. And by the way, people have died because they haven't got access to drugs that eventually were approved, but the FDA just said, nope, we got to finish out the trials the way we want to do it. And and literally people have lost their lives that possibly could have been saved. So I can't tell you how many. It's going to be specific drugs with specific illnesses over time, but Right to Try will save lives. And by the way, the only reason that passed is because the tireless efforts of those patients and President Trump decided to champion this cause in the State of the Union, and then tirelessly, not only publicly, but even more importantly, privately, was just a bulldog making sure that it passed.
And because you put your full strength behind it, too. I mean, being modest is cool, but without you, this doesn't happen. It's Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. I've got less than a minute. I know how busy you are. Just very quickly, is the president talking about all these tariffs and adding tariffs because he wants leverage to get the other guys to stop all their taxing and tariffing and fining our products, or do you think he really wants tariffs?
No, he's using tariffs as a leverage, and he wants reciprocal treatment. You know, we all want reciprocal treatment. If we have zero tariffs, nobody should have tariffs against us either. So,
right.
You know, he's on solid ground. I am concerned that we haven't utilized that leverage and come to conclusion on these trade deals.
Yeah.
A lot of micro damage is being done. So the sooner that leverage is used to success, you know, successfully used, the better.
Senator, we always appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for the hard work you do for the American people. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican, the great state of Wisconsin. Thank you, Ron.
Have a great weekend.
Okay, we'll talk to you again very soon. You as well. We're going to be right back. Your thoughts on what you just heard and much more on a Free Speech Friday on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
You're always just minutes away from the latest news, traffic, and weather. And breaking news when it happens. News Radio 1200 WOAI.
All right, great to have you to Joe Pags Show, Free Speech Friday edition, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. A lot of people have stopped by and sent me a message over on the Facebook page. Now you will be added to the list of information that gets sent out. I'm trying to do it on a daily basis. We'll give you some show topics and stuff like that. We also, a lot of people are stopping by Twitter. And Carrie, are you embarrassed? I mean, you're getting a lot of love here.
I know,
you're turning
I love
a little
it.
Red, a little blushing
I'm
over a little
bit. I'm not embarrassed. I love all that. That's why social
media
is good.
I mean, the people are showing some love.
They are. I appreciate that.
It's not always good. See, don't even start.
Well, I know. It's not always good.
Social media is half the reason why you're buying a truck half the time.
Oh, I know. And I hate it most of the time.
Yeah.
But this is nice today.
But it can be good.
Very nice.
The power can be used for good.
I guess so. Yes.
So the people missed you is what they're saying.
That's so sweet.
It's 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Let me remind you about Super Beach. You know, as we age, our bodies do change. You start feeling more tired. Hard to get up out of bed in the morning. It's also harder to go and work out, to take that morning walk. The reason is your circulation decreases as you get older. Found out that if I start giving my body what it needs now, I can promote natural, healthy circulation and keep on feeling great as the years go by. It's why I drink Super Beats. Super Beats promotes the body's own natural ability to produce healthier circulation for an increased energy and stamina all day long. And only Super Beats is made from beets grown to exacting standards and then concentrated into superfood crystals. So, you want to give your body what it needs as you age, call the number, 800-516-8389, or go to joelovesbeats.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beats free, plus indicator strips to see how Super Beats is working for you, and free shipping as well. That number again is 800-516-8389, 1-800-516-8389, or go online, joelovesbeats.com. It's joelovesbeats.com. Appreciate you. All right, let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome on a Free Speech Friday to Sandra in San Antonio. Sandra, what's going on? Hi. Hello, Sandra. She's been on her about 45 minutes, Carrie.
Maybe
she got choked up because of all the Carrie love that was being told
out
here.
Yeah, makes it very emotional.
One more time, Sandra. What do you got for me? Hang on. Let me go to the great state of Minnesota. It's going to be Craig. Craig, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe, what's going on? Love your show, buddy.
Thanks, brother. Talk to me.
I wanted to talk to you about the loyalty thing. Am I too late or what?
No, come on.
All right. So, you know, loyalty, I believe, is something that we got to teach people nowadays. I just want to use a quick for instance. My son was working at the local car dealership, 17 years old. He wasn't getting paid much. His buddy's dad offered him a job for $1 more an hour, and I talked to him. I said, "Bud, I don't think I would do that. You just bought a pickup from this place. They gave you a good deal. You're going to do whatever you want, but I wouldn't do that." And a couple days later, he got a nice raise from the garage that he was at.
Wow.
Yeah,
and I think that's the way it works. I mean, when you're loyal to a company and the company believes you to be a team player and all in, they're going to look out for you. They don't want to lose good people.
You know what? It might not happen all the time, but it's never going to happen if you're not loyal.
Exactly right. No, I think that's a great story and a great example of exactly what I'm talking about. And again, I've had that happen a lot in my career. But it is a two-way street. If you feel that the company or the business or the team is being disloyal to you, you got to figure out what's going on. But I don't know, the Kawhi Leonard situation just feels like the two sides haven't talked as much as they should. I'm speculating. I don't know this to be a fact. And Kawhi has not talked about this report that came out. Next hour, we'll start out with baby daddy. Is that inappropriate on a card for Father's Day? We'll answer that when we come back. Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Better. Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to JoePags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Of course, Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride on a Friday. Strings. Horns now. Sorry, protein bar. On the break, protein bar. Carrie.
No.
Oh, she's back.
No.
It is the Joe Pags Show for a Friday. Where's Bob Guthrie?
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's
Friday. Thank God it is Friday.
Yes, it is.
Friday.
You betcha.
Thank God it's Friday. Thank God it is Friday.
You know, I'm in that kind of mood. Let's make it a free speech Friday. Let's go.
Free speech Friday.
Freedom. Say what? Bring it down. What we do is all week long, I decide what we're going to talk about, and it's tough. You can't make me change. On Friday, however, we open it up. Whatever's on your mind is going to be fair game. If I know something about it, we'll talk about it. If not, we will move on. I do appreciate you stopping by. And again, the venerable Carrie Lockie back in the chair today. Ooh, Carrie, how is you?
You're being
you
so nice to me. Yes.
Being nice. You know, let me tell you this. The more you complain about me being nice, the less I'm going to do it. So either take
I'm not complaining about
it. Or I'm just going to switch back to normal.
No, but don't switch back to normal. No.
Well, by Monday, it's going to be back to normal. I'm just happy to see you today. By Monday, I'm going to be like, she's just here again.
Oh, man.
For me, if you worked a one-day week, I don't know. It might actually engender more good feelings. You never know.
I don't think I can do that. So, sometimes I
probably
wish,
not.
But, yeah.
Probably not. I don't think that they pay you as much. They probably would have to cut back on $1 million salary.
That's right. Yes.
It is a Friday. There's a lot to get to. There's a lot to talk about. Last hour, if you missed it, we do 3 hours, so be sure to catch us on radio all 3 hours. We had Ron Johnson on, the senator, U.S. senator from the great state of Wisconsin. Talked about a lot, including the IG report, including the right to try, something that he really backed, including tariffs, smart, not smart. We talked about a lot and all important stuff. And I got to tell you, all lately appearing to be a big win for our country and a big win for the current president. I had a back and forth with somebody. I know I should stop myself, but I don't.
Dude.
It was on Facebook. It was actually my personal Facebook. I mean, on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Joe Talk Show. And again, go there and click on send message, and that will sign you up for like my daily blast that tells you what's going to be on the radio, what's going to be on television. But on my personal page, on a mutual friend of ours, posted something about how great it was that we had this summit with President Trump and the, what do they call him? The chairman? Chairman?
Yes.
And how historic it was, how great it was, that maybe, just maybe, we'll get some peace. And by and large, everybody who's commenting on there is being positive. Yeah, let's see what happens. This could be great. This could be wonderful. Then you get a couple of oddballs who want to go on there and pretend like somehow this can be deemed as bad, or he did nothing good here, and Obama was so great, and so on. And, you know, I can't help it. I just jump right in there.
You can help it. You just refuse to.
Pardon me, I can't.
Engage.
I don't think you understand.
So that's a problem.
We did a blood test.
Have a problem.
Turns out I can't stop. It turns out I've got the addiction. So I can't. Look, it's better than other, you know, vices I could have.
Well,
so,
I guess that's true.
So I commented, and I just went down a line, and I was very succinct and very factual and blah, blah, blah. And the guy writes back something about how horrible it is and disgusting or something that it is. I forget the word that he used. That I commented on his Facebook message at 3:38 a.m.
What?
What?
Does that have to do with anything?
Because I missed the part that it's horrible to comment on. Because, Carrie, maybe I missed it. Is Facebook closed?
No,
it's open
it does
24/7,
not.
Right?
It is, yeah. 24/7. Yeah.
It's not like I went there and they were like, sorry, we're closed right now. Come back at 9 a.m.
You can post whenever you want.
Why can't I say something at 3:38 a.m.?
You can't.
So he had nothing, is what I'm saying. Absolutely nothing. Now, keep in mind, and again, this is a mutual friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go on these pages and say, by the way, I am a TV radio talk show host. I don't do that because my real name is there. It's Joe Pagliarulo. My full name is there. On the page, it says Joe Pags. It's a fan page where this is my personal. But I was so thrilled about what was happening in Singapore that I thought I would jump in and defend a little bit because this person was attacking for no reason. Mm-hmm. And I guess he knows who I am. And I don't know. He at one point, because they told him to take his head out of his ass, he at one point said, I wonder how the FCC would feel about you using your broadcast license to bully people on Facebook. And I was like, I don't know. Here's Ajit Pai's information. Yeah. He's a friend of mine. He's the chairman of the FCC. Let me know what he has to say about this. Yeah. Right. I mean, tell him that I went on Facebook and said the A-double-S word, and let's see how he feels about that.
If he knows your show, that's right. He knows.
That's right. He has no purview over the internet anyway. Yeah. And I can say it on the radio and television, so that's not going to be an issue. And I'm sorry, I'm bullying you by giving you facts and saying, take your head out of your rear end. It's so nutty.
I know.
I do, and I know that you didn't listen to the show at all in the past few days because you were drunk. But
I was not on vacation.
Let me ask you something. Did you have anything to drink on vacation?
I did, yeah.
Can you prove that you weren't drunk? So let's not go there. Let's not do this.
I'm telling you.
Okay, I'm trying to shield you from listeners knowing about the issues that you might have.
I do not have issues. I do not have issues at any time.
Some say you could have issues. You never know.
I do not.
I don't know. It could be issues. It might be issues.
I do not have issues.
So anyway, not what Mario said. Just going to put it there.
He told you nothing.
Just going to put it out there. All right, so I go on there, and I basically, I'm leaning on two questions when it comes to North Korea and the United States. The first, there are actually three, but the first question is, do you want peace? You would figure, I don't care if you're liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, I don't care who you are. You're probably going to say yes to that one. I don't know anybody's like, screw that, I want death. No, you want peace.
Yeah, definitely.
The second question is, do you want North Korea to have nuclear weapons?
No.
I'm hoping you say no. Unless you're Kim Jong-un, you should be saying no to that one.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, if you want to throw it in there, but that really goes with the peace one, is do you want to see an actual end to the Korean War? Mm. You know this.
Yeah.
Anybody who's got a brain knows this. The Korean War is not over.
Right.
It's going on right now. There's just a ceasefire. That's all it is. They at any moment can start killing each other again. Can you imagine if Kim Jong-un and Moon from South Korea got together and signed an end to the war? How can anybody find anything wrong with that?
I don't know. All three sound good.
And as I've always said, I disagreed with just about everything Barack Obama did. But when he got it right, and for me, in 8 years, he got it right three times. When he got it right, I supported it. And I also never, ever, ever, never. Carrie, do you know me ever to let somebody personally attack his looks or his family or anything like that?
No.
I won't let people call Michelle out of her gender. I won't let them call her a masculine name. I won't let them make fun of him or his background or whatever. I definitely won't let them make fun of their children. I have always focused on the policies. And even if you're the furthest extremist leftist, you have to be willing to have peace in North and South Korea. You have to be willing to not let this idiot have nukes. Now look, nothing's been done. Nothing is solved. They signed a letter of intent. And the hope is that letter of intent turns into reality. But it fares so badly for the political left in this country, especially heading into a midterm, that you've got people like Nancy Pelosi begging people to rise up against Trump. And you've got people like this doofus on Facebook so blinded by his Trump derangement syndrome that he doesn't even see the fact that he's legitimately, literally, actually illegitimately, but literally arguing with me because A, I'm a talk show host, and B, I'm a Trump supporter in that what he's doing with North Korea is supportable. It would be so much smarter for the left if they said, man, I don't love the guy. I don't like what I've heard that he said and done. But on this one, he's right, which is what anybody with half a brain did with Obama. When Obama got it right, when it comes to true traditional American values, we all supported him. When he got it wrong, and he got it wrong just about every day, we didn't support him. But it was about policy. It was about politics. It was about the future of our country. It wasn't about how, who he slept with or what his hair looked like or his skin tone. None of that. So I always find it to be weird when somebody jumps into the fray and immediately, this guy wasn't even good enough to attack me, on policy and on what I was saying. He immediately, Carrie, took the stance that he was the victim and that I was victimizing him and that I was doing it because I'm a talk show host. You know what I mean?
That's stupid. Yeah, that's dumb.
Oh, by the way, I invited him to do something. What do you think I invited him to do?
Call the show?
Right. Do you think he's gonna?
I'm gonna say no.
You know why? He's scared.
He's scared
to call in. Because the big mean talk show host might actually be able to mix it up with him. And it's funny because he said, you can't even debate right. I'm like, we're not debating. I said fact. You said how you felt. You lose. it's just the way it goes.
And how long did you have this back and forth with this guy?
Well, I guess he started responding today or something. Maybe last night or something. Because I think that I actually responded two nights ago. And again, I mean, I actually asked him. I said, what are the rules? Because I sleep from about 4 o'clock a.m. until 9:45. So I sleep about 5 hours and 45 minutes a night. I guess that somehow is disgusting or weird or deranged or something of me.
It is very, very weird.
So when can I actually comment on what's on Facebook that you've got? When is the appropriate time? So today at 12:30 p.m., right after noon, right after lunch, I commented.
Sounds like
I said, I'm commenting at 12:30 p.m. Is this one okay? Because I don't, Carrie, I am so good at the game when I know the rules.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't know the rules, I'm horrible at it.
I gotcha.
Clearly,
yeah,
I did not know the rules of the Facebook.
You did not. You cannot at 3:38 post or respond.
Clearly, apparently. That means I'm deranged. I think he actually used the word deranged. 1-800-383-9624. Joe, what did you say? Are you going to insult me after all the love I've given you today?
I take it back. You are a jerk. I'm sorry.
You are a jerk. Go back on vacation. You're out of here.
Go home early.
You're gone.
Okay, I take
suspended.
It
back. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Free Speech Friday on the program. Bottom of the hour. Campus Reform. Keep it right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
All right, great to have you. It is the Joe Pag Show, the Free Speech Friday edition. 1-800-383-9624. Glad to have you on great radio stations all over, Newsmax TV as well. Make sure you stop by the website, joepags.com. And I'm going to, Carrie, I keep talking about this, but I'm going to redesign it at some point and make it easier to navigate because I haven't updated the cover thing in a long time. And I don't know, it's just kind of a pain.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make it to where it's more automatic. You get news stories that we're covering, some links to Newsmax and to the radio station. So make sure that you always go there first. But there are links that work just fine to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and email. And when you go there, click on Facebook. Something new I'm trying. There's this thing that I picked up called ManyChat or something where I can actually send people a blast about what the show's going to be about, what you'll see, what you'll hear, what we'll talk about. So you have to go and send me a message on my Facebook page. So again, go to my website, joepags.com. Click on Facebook. That'll take you right to my page. Click on Send Message. If you're already on Facebook, just put in Joe Talk Show. That's my name on Facebook. And you'll see send message. Click on that. It'll send me a message that will automatically sign you up for this thing that will allow me to send you or broadcast an update on what's going on. You know what I said today? Because you're not signed up, are you?
I'm not. I guess I have to go
to my page and sign up. Stop being that person.
Okay. I didn't know about it. I want to be involved.
Well, you were like the headline in the thing today.
Really? Okay. No, I for sure have to.
Of course you have to go now because it's about you. We listen. We know how that works.
You know,
I'm trying
I
to
like
pull up
that.
Exactly what I said here. It's me, the Motown thing, the pop at Kansas City. A lot of people signing up. Well, the headline was basically, actually, I think I have it in my inbox. And this looks great on TV when I look to my left like this. I think a lot of people like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always good. All right. Don't miss my show today. So this is what I sent.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss my show today. Carrie is back.
Ooh.
Also, I'll have Senator Ron Johnson, which you probably missed last hour if you weren't paying attention. Campus Reform this hour. And then I give the links on how you can watch or how you can listen.
Very
that's how you do
cool.
it.
Okay.
Go there, sign up,
I shall.
Get the stupid
be
message.
Signing
Why
up.
Is it so freaking hard to understand? Just get the message.
It's not. It's not hard at all. I'm going to do it during
Thank
the break.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You got to give us the story from Target. Because we are living in a society that is so filled with political correctness. Mm-hmm. You had Jack Dorsey earlier this week apologize for going to Chick-fil-A. He actually apologized for eating at Chick-fil-A because the CEO actually thinks marriage is between a man and a woman. It's horrible. And now you've got Target pulled a card for Father's Day. Please explain.
Yeah, from ABC News, when Takesha Saunders went shopping for a Father's Day card for her husband at a Target store in Rockwell, Texas, she said the only one featuring an African-American couple read Baby Daddy. Saunders, who is black, told ABC News on Thursday there were plenty of other cards she found less offensive, but they all featured white couples. And there was no other option, said Saunders. My disappointment was that it was the only card that featured a black couple. There wasn't any other black husband cards or anything like that. There are white husband cards with a couple on the front, and there were My Dad's My Hero cards with characters on the front, but there wasn't anything else. And she snapped a photo of the card and posted it on her personal website, a neighborhood group website, and her Facebook page, writing, "Cannot be serious, Target, really. This was the only Father's Day card that featured a black couple." Her post struck a chord and triggered numerous complaints to Target, which yanked the card from the shelves of about 900 of its 1,800 stores nationwide that had stocked it. "We want all guests to feel welcomed and respected when they shop at Target. We were made aware of some concerns about this card last week. and are working with our vendor to have it removed from Target stores. Joshua Thomas, a spokesman for the chain, said in a statement to ABC News, "We appreciate the feedback and apologize. It's never our intent to offend any of our guests with the products we sell." And Patrice Molnar, a spokeswoman for American Greetings, which created the card and supplied it to vendors across the nation, told ABC News the card was sold at about 5,300 drugstores, supermarkets, and big box chains, including Target. In this instant, this particular card was created for and addressed to a loving husband, which the inside copy makes clear, Molnar told ABC News. However, we now see the front page taken out of context can communicate an unintentional meaning that we are strongly against perpetuating and is not consistent with our company purpose and values. We should do better in the future, and we will.
Come on, dude.
We have notified our store merchandisers to remove the card from all retailer shelves and apologize for any offense we've caused.
Come on, dude.
She added.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, dude. Now, listen, I don't walk in to buy cards and think to myself, well, this person is definitely the skin tone I am, so this is the card for me. Like, I don't think there's an olive-skinned Italian guy, a tall, good-looking, muscular Italian guy card that I have to buy every time.
What? Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. Yes.
I'm being descriptive.
Oh, of course.
This isn't working for you. I've been very nice to you today.
I know. I've got to stop. Okay, yeah.
Right. Hello.
Yes. Okay.
So, like, I'm in there, like, am I mad that there isn't some really suave-looking, you know, cool guy card?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's... Don't do it, because it doesn't
work. I'm trying.
Don't even do that. Don't do that.
I can't.
No, but the fact is, we're talking about identity, not even politics, identity culture now. We're talking about an identity culture in America that can't be stopped. Now, does she make a good point that there should be other cards available for different skin tones? Maybe. I mean, look, if you're trying to sell cards, maybe reach the widest swath of audience you can get. I'm not against that. But to be offended, and by the way, one of the lines in there was interesting, because she didn't say, "I found other great cards." She said, "I found other cards that were less offensive."
That had white people on them, I guess.
Right. In other words, she found every card offensive. Those were less offensive than the one that she pointed out. Now, I'm going to describe it. It appears to be a black couple, I guess, and it doesn't say, "Hey, look at the black people on here." But I guess you can assume they're black. They could be any number of races, but she makes an assumption. And on the outside, it says, "Baby Daddy." Baby daddy. Baby daddy is in our vernacular now. It's in our lexicon now. When you watch any television show, I watch Judge Judy all the time. Carrie makes fun of me. I watch Judge Judy and Judge Marilyn Million on the People's Court. And there are people there who say, well, what's the relationship to this person? And she'll say, oh, that's my baby daddy. And it's just part of the language.
Yeah.
I don't find it to be a negative. I find it to be something that is said today. So instead of not buying the card, and instead of the marketplace deciding through capitalism and free enterprise that card isn't one that's going to sell, and then it goes away because it didn't sell, she makes such a stink about it that Target, getting oh so politically correct, decides we have to delete every card that says baby daddy. And again, I'm not here to say there shouldn't be a representation of the full gamut of races and ethnicities and whatever. I mean, that's fine. If you're selling cards, try to reach the widest audience you can. But to complain about this very one and Target not saying, sorry you feel that way, leaving it, instead yanking it off the shelves, now we're living in this totalitarian society where one person complains, everybody has to pay the price. I'd love your thoughts. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com, Campus Reform, when we come back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
It's our Father's Day edition. Papa Top to Pop. We're going to pay tribute to dads. Coming up at 8 on The Michael Berry Show.
Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV, The Joe Pags Show on your radio and your television. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have back from campusreform.org. It's Zachary Patrizzo. Zachary, we're saying Patrizzo, right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Because I go with Patrizzo, I go with Patrizzo or Patrizzo, whatever you'd like to do.
Patrizzo is it. We're both Italian.
That's right.
Right.
You got to do this when you say it.
Absolutely.
But mine can be Pagliarulo, Pagliarulo. We can say it any number of ways. All right. I appreciate your time. I really love what you guys do over at campusreform.org. If you don't open this website every morning, you need to. That's what I do because there's great stuff in there. Things that are happening on campuses that a lot of them, most of them, we're paying for that would blow your mind. And these folks, again, Zachary, right in the lead of this, are doing a great job exposing it. I want to do a follow-up to a story that I talked to your comrade over there. I believe it was Naweed Thomas. We talked about the campus of Marquette University that I guess there was some policy made, and they wouldn't really explain it, where you couldn't use a certain word. First and foremost, what is the word, and what's happened since I talked to Naweed about this?
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for having me on.
You bet.
And at the Leadership Institute's Campus Reform, we've kept track of this ongoing story in which Marquette University has decided to beg students not to use the I word. This I word is illegal immigrant. You know, they are illegal. They came here illegally. And the word properly fits.
It does.
The university then went behind the backs after many reports came out, the first being Campus Reform's report about this policy, went behind the backs of many of these reporters and decided to change the policy and not comment. They say that, quote unquote, it's a cherished law term and that it shouldn't be used in a academic setting. Well, if they were actually, you know, looking at the truth about this, they would understand that they came here illegally and that they are illegal immigrants.
Yeah. I actually call them illegal aliens because they are alien to this country. That doesn't mean from outer space. The actual legal term, the governmental term, is illegal alien. They're alien to the area. They came here illegally. Those two together make sense, and it is descriptive. But I got to stop you. Cherished legal term? The word cherish, in my mind, and again, maybe I don't speak the language as well as I think, it means adore, love, covet, hold true, hold close to your heart. Why would they say cherished legal term? Have they explained themselves at all?
Not at all, but this is just typical Marquette University that basically pushes this one-side social justice narrative that we see instead of turning to that of truth and relevance and kind of faith being at the cornerstone of what they teach. They ultimately teach this, you know, left-wing propaganda.
Yeah. So where does this apply? Can you not say it vocally? Can you not write it in a thesis? You just have to avoid the word illegal, period, if it's anywhere near immigrant? I mean, what exactly are the provisions here? Do we know what the outline is, the guidelines are?
Absolutely. The outline of this statement in which the university released is that in which they basically beg students not to use the word. So they strongly discourage it. But yet they've not gone the step farther where they absolutely ban the word. They've just said if you use the word, it's not going to be looked well upon, which I find to be completely outrageous.
Of course it's outrageous because it's not only is it a legal term, it's appropriate. It's Zachary Petrizzo from campusreform.org. Make sure you go there. Zachary, what is your Twitter? Do you use the Twitter?
Absolutely. It's Zach Petrizzo.
Okay. It's P-E-T-R-I-Z-Z-O. Go and follow him over there. Again, does great work. This story actually is one that you wrote and that you reported on. Georgetown called out for urging donations to left-wing groups. We're not surprised by it, but who's calling them out?
Absolutely. So TFP, a group in which has started a petition to come and say, look, it's not right that a Jesuit institution ultimately having kids take their time and encouraging them to give money to organizations such as Planned Parenthood,
yeah,
Emily's List, and many more. It's really unfortunate. And, you know, ultimately we see this as a greater trend throughout many Jesuit and Catholic institutions across our country where, you know, the core values in which they were built on are no longer being followed or being seen as, you know, of principle.
How does a university like that allow it to happen, knowing that there is a core Christian value system, a core Christian value, mechanism in place? When somebody goes there, they know that's in place, like Notre Dame, like other Catholic or other religious institutions. Why not go to one that isn't religious? I mean, is this a push by the left, in your opinion, to get these religious institutions to drop their values and the institutions are doing it?
Absolutely. These Catholic and Jesuit institutions are pandering more to the leftists and the secular style institutions in which they look to become, whether that's to ultimately garner more support from a wider range of students or whether that's to ultimately receive more federal dollars from our government, which is really unfortunate that we're losing these once great, you know, Catholic and Jesuit institutions such as Notre Dame, such as Georgetown, to ultimately this leftist perspective where, you know, whether it's, you know, riots on campus or this now, free speech isn't protected. Then we have this. Just so many issues, and it seems as though the administration at all these institutions can't seem to get a grip on it.
Yeah, I got you. It's Zachary Petrizzo, at Zach Petrizzo, over on Twitter. Also follow Campus Reform on all the social media and go to the website, campusreform.org. There's a video that you guys posted that I want people to go and check out. Students blasting the Supreme Court ruling on gay wedding cakes. And I talked about this before. I don't know that a cake can be gay or straight, but it is a cake that's being requested to be made for a gay wedding. I didn't watch the video yet. Explain what we see.
Absolutely. Well, our media director here at the Leadership Institute's Campus Reform, Cabot Phillips, hit the street and went out to George Washington University here in Washington, D.C. to ask students what they were thinking about this Supreme Court ruling, which said that, you know, the baker did not have to bake the cake due to his religious beliefs. And what Cabot Phillips went out there and heard from students, he ended up popping their safe spaces, and there were zero microaggressions. but he went out there, hit the road, and asked students this. And they came back saying, you know, his first question was, you know, what do you think of this initial ruling of the Supreme Court? And they were like, you know, it's his job to be a baker, you know, and he's a baker. And he should have made the cake right off the way and saying a myriad of other things.
Yeah.
But yet then when Cabot followed up with the next two questions, the first question was, what happens if it was an African-American baker that was ultimately baking a cake for a KKK rally?
Right.
Their decisions began changing, and they became quote-unquote unsure. One girl even in the video says, I'm confused, or I just contradicted myself. She caught myself.
Yeah.
His last follow-up question was kind of aiming towards what happens if it's a Jewish baker, and that baker has to make a cake for a Palestinian wedding, and yet students were torn again. And, you know, when I first originally saw it, I started thinking to myself, well, isn't this the job in which teachers at our higher institutions should be challenging these students, you know, to really dig into some of these topics, start thinking about these complex issues? But yet Cabot Phillips, you know, went out there and was able to do it himself, and it cost the students $0.
Yeah, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, you and I both know that the indoctrination that happens on these campuses is that we should attack the traditional Judeo-Christian values of the country. So you have to attack the Christian baker. But I mean, we can follow up with other questions like, can you force a Muslim caterer to cook you a pork dinner? Can you tell a Jewish baker to make a cake that says, I love Hitler? And the answers are obvious in those cases. So when a baker says, I'm not going to make the cake for your wedding because that would then include me in the actual ceremony of you guys doing something that my religion says is a sin, it should have been an easy, okay, I get it, let me go to one of the other 67 bakers in Denver and I'll have it done. But they didn't do that. One starts to think, well, this was a setup to go after, again, a traditional Judeo-Christian value system. At the end of it, when Cabot walks away, do you think that these students continue scratching their heads and actually reassessed their stance on this? Because the knee-jerk reaction is, you got to bake the cake.
Absolutely. The knee-jerk reaction from many of the students and towards the front of the video, you know, they're so gung-ho. They're like, you know, that's unfair, you know, civil rights and social justice.
Right.
But yet when they see the whole picture, I think these students begin to start shaking their heads and questioning their internal beliefs. And I think that's really important. I think that's what higher education should be doing. It should be really pushing the boundaries in which, you know, students have these preconceived notions of what should be socially just within a society, and ultimately pushing back and saying, you know, why does something like this or illegal immigration, you know, what is the other side to that story, and how does my view of maybe being one-sided, you know, coexist with others, and how can we further debate and have dialogue about it?
I want to make mention of a story, then I want to move on to the last story because we're almost out of time. But in Louisiana, the Democrat governor has actually done an about face, and he is now in support of the free speech being protected on college campuses. Can you give me like 30 seconds as to why he made that flip? And then I want to get into this whole Venezuela thing because that one blows my mind.
Absolutely. Well, the governor of Louisiana is the 10th state to ultimately pass a free speech bill, which in my mind should have never occurred because it's already protected underneath our First Amendment.
Right.
It's listed very clearly, freedom of speech. But yet states have to double down and ultimately protect that of freedom of speech because too often left-wing, you know, administrations at these institutions are letting absolute anarchy go. One quick note here, it's really important, it's not only for the students, but it's also for the professors to ensure that freedom of speech is protected on these college campuses. The best example being Professor John McAdams, who was wrongfully fired at Marquette University for conservative principles. You know, these bills and this style of legislation is ultimately meant to protect students and professors at these institutions.
And again, I think that it's great that you get a Democrat governor, probably knows that the election is coming up and he should probably do something to show his...
WOAI.
All Hi, great to have you. It's the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Some gremlins in the machines on radio. On television, you saw the entire interview, and TV actually might be coming back and rejoining a little bit later. But either way, we appreciate you stopping by the program. Thanks a lot for stopping by. And again, Zachary Petrizzo does just a great job over there at campusreform.org, just like all of the people do over at campusreform.org. I urge you to go and sign up. Well, you don't have to sign up. You just go there and open it up, campusreform.org, and you will get great information by these wonderful young reporters. And they're really doing the job of informing us on exactly what's going on out there. Let me, in the meantime, tell you about your blood pressure, how important it is to find out what's going on with your blood pressure, and what you can do to make sure your blood pressure is in check. I don't know the last time you had it taken to see exactly what your numbers are. Go get it taken. If you're looking for a way to help support healthy blood pressure levels with a simple lifestyle change, the good news is you can do it by having a super vegetable that I have every morning. It's great for your heart. It's beets. Super Beets is a convenient way to get the benefits of beets every day. Super Beets provides a nutrient that helps support healthy blood pressure by working with the body's own natural systems. Only Super Beets is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to maintain healthy blood pressure, call 800-516-8389. 1-800-516-8389. Or go to joelovesbeets.com, joelovesbeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beets free, plus indicator strips to see how Super Beets is working for you, and you get free shipping, too. Call 800-516-8389 or go online, joelovesbeets.com, joelovesbeets.com. Get it done right now. All right, Free Speech Friday. We've got a lot of people on the line. A lot of people want to be heard from. Let's get right back to it and say hello and welcome to Nina, who's on line 3 in Florida. Hi, Nina. What's going on?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
The IG report that came out last night has me totally deflated. I was so hyped up about something that was going to happen, and now I've lost all faith in that. So, but I do want to move on to some good news.
Well, I want to stop you for 1 second because the IG report is not done. Now, of course, the report is out, but Nina, I want you to pay attention next Tuesday when this guy, Michael Horowitz, has to go in front of the House and the Senate panels and answer some questions. And you might find out that people are going to be in some dire straits and be in some legal trouble after that starts going because, again, he can refer people for charges, but it's actually up to Congress to take action. But go ahead.
I hope they do. I was home Tuesday watching Newsmax, and on the bottom of the screen, they had scrawled that a veteran had called in and said that his friend decided not to commit suicide because of Newsmax. And I give you that credit because that night on that show, you kept saying over and over what the hotline suicide number was. None of the other shows did that. So I know you at least saved one life, and I really appreciate you doing that for the people that needed it.
That means the world to me. I did not know that scrolled on the bottom of the screen, and I'm not here to take any credit. I just want people to get help and realize their worth and their value and how much we love them, and they are loved. And if it saved one person, made them think twice about it, great. Let's keep on track and see if we can't save some more people. But that's amazing. I did not know that, Nina. I didn't know.
I know you were the one because I watched it all night, and you were the one that stepped forward and made it happen. So God bless y'all, and thank you for taking my call.
That fills my heart, Nina. I appreciate you. Thank you very much. Carrie, can you imagine?
Wow, that's awesome. That's really great.
I mean, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. That is super amazing. I'm glad that hopefully the person is getting the help they need. And again, definitely, anybody who's in dire straits, there are people that love you and they want to help you. And it's not as dire as you probably think it is. Let me go back at it and say hello to line one. David is in Missouri. David, what's going on?
Oh, am I on now?
You are.
Okay. Well, on the last segment you had on there, I wanted to say something about that. That was, people don't remember the, I refuse to, refuse service to anyone. Okay, but then, how about the Father's Day thing, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, I am a son of a military man who served in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam.
Right.
When they did, he did 2 stints in Vietnam, and then it was 18 months. When I went to get a card, I didn't look for anything else but Happy Father's Day, man, you know?
Right.
Why couldn't anybody else see that?
Well, I think that's exactly what they have to do. That's why I said it's about identity culture. It has to look like me, feel like me, has to kiss my rear end somehow. And when the bottom line is, it's just a Father's Day message. The picture on the front or the depiction on the front shouldn't matter to anybody. I would have no problem handing a Father's Day card to somebody. I would have no problem getting a Father's Day card from one of my kids, and a guy didn't look Italian. I mean, that's dumb. David, I appreciate you. I don't think you can hear me as well because we were kind of talking at the same time, but your point is well taken. There's for some reason, we've got identity politics or identity culture ingrained in everything we do now, and it makes my face hurt. Let me go to John in Virginia. John, about a minute. Make it fast.
Yeah, real quick. You and I spoke about a guy named Dan running for office in Virginia, and he was comparing Trump to Osama bin Laden. He said he didn't have a chance, and you were right. He only got about 6% of the vote. But the reason I called...
How did he get six? How did he get that much?
I don't have any idea. The sheep, I guess. The sheep voted for him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but anyways, I just wanted to ask you a question, and that is it true that congressmen and senators, when they're brand new, go to an orientation and they're told that 90% of their efforts are supposed to be to continue to try and find a way to keep themselves in office?
Well, probably. I mean, I don't know that to be a fact, but I'm sure there's an orientation, and I'm sure that the hierarchy in whatever party they're in tells them the way it is. What I do understand is when they get to Congress, they're told, you better start raising money today for your reelection campaign. And that's pretty lame, because as you know, John, that means they're not going there and doing the work they said they would do for us. And there are some that are exposing this. I mean, Ted Cruz will tell you, you know, the way the Republican Party tried to, and the establishment tried to co-opt him as soon as he got there. Got to go to break. We're done on TV for today. Have a great Father's Day to all you dads. We're back on Monday. We continue on radio. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. You go there for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more. Plus, you've got the video feed for hour number three on the website. The Joe Pags Show for a Friday. A Free Speech Friday.
Freedom.
Freedom. Bring it down. Take it up a notch. joepags.com. Whatever's on your mind is going to be fair game. If I know something about it, we'll talk about it. If not, we'll move on. That's how we do Free Speech Friday. Lots of people want to be heard on lots of topics. I think the baby daddy card is just dumb. We got another story we'll get to where a young man, a high schooler, became the valedictorian, and his school wouldn't let him be the valedictorian. Have you heard this? Did you send me that, Carrie?
I don't think that was me today.
Okay, I'll make sure that that we have that. That's Carrie Lockie. She's back today. She's tired of slipping out on work. But I guess if you're going to come back, come back on a Friday.
Hello.
Because today's your Friday.
I know. Isn't that awesome? I worked so hard today, too.
Rude.
Worked hard.
Absolutely nothing.
I have to.
Karina's along for the ride, along with Polo. You know the one state where we have the most stations, right, Carrie?
Is it Michigan?
It's Michigan.
Yeah.
We've got 16 or 17 stations in Michigan. We love Michigan. Look, we love every state. When I say that, I mean we love you, love, girl, love.
Oh, okay.
But nice. Michigan has stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking, in Texas, we've got a ton, I think 13 in Michigan. And we're based in Texas. But Michigan, where I spent 8 years as a television news anchor, we've got more there than anywhere else. We're working on it. We're coming to your state, hopefully.
Wow.
Well, there's something going on. And by the way, you may or may not know this, but my family is in Michigan right now. I'm living the bachelor life.
I do know that.
And,
yes.
Should we be on vacation with them? No. I was going to go, but they didn't want me to.
Got it.
But Sam is in Michigan, and she's actually on a microphone. Sam, what's the weather like in Michigan?
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful here. I love it.
Now, compared to what? I mean, so it's really, really hot in Texas, so it's beautiful in comparison weather-wise, temperature-wise?
You know, the people are really beautiful. That's really what I'm talking about here.
Oh, the stop. The people are beautiful in Texas, too. Don't even start. Don't start that. We love you, Texas. We love you everywhere. But nice weather, and it's very green. And this in Michigan, it's June 15th. So overnight, it still could be in the 50s or 40s even, right? I mean, what is it?
Oh, yeah. It was pretty chilly this morning. It was about 50, so I was drinking my coffee with a blanket around myself. I couldn't believe it. That's very unnatural for me.
That's a little nuts. That's a little crazy. See, that's, to me, Carrie, that's
nice.
Too cold right now.
I like that. No, that's perfect right now. How hot does it get? Like on June 15th?
Today it was about 80 degrees.
Oh, man.
And it was a little
beautiful.
Cloudy. Yeah, it was beautiful. Nice.
What was it here, Carrie? 97? 100?
It was 97, I think, at the airport about 4 o'clock today.
Nothing wrong with that. We love San Antonio. See, don't let Carrie and Sam, you know, change your mind.
I
love it.
I don't say anything about San
love
Antonio.
It.
I love Texas.
But you go and you get 50 degrees overnight. It's not bad.
Nice.
Quick story. When we moved to Michigan in 1994, I was painting barns with my brother-in-law and my father-in-law. And it was August. It was the end of August. Mm-hmm. I kid you not. And we're going to be my first day painting barns. Plus, I was doing some weekend radio, and I was doing overnight TV, and I was just trying to make a career out of it.
Yeah.
And got up way too early for me, because, again, I go to bed at middle of the night, although I'm not allowed to Facebook in the middle of the night, obviously. But I go to bed in the middle of the night, and I got up very early, put on a pair of shorts like a normal person would.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it is August,
and a T-shirt. It's August.
Yeah.
And I walked out, it was 46.
Oh, my God.
And I thought I was going to die.
Wow.
I thought I was going to die. Mm. Now, in covering news stories, and people might call me out in Michigan or Minnesota or Wisconsin, up in that tier. You might call me out and say I'm full of it, but I'm here to tell you, end of September, I'm feeling confident I saw snow.
What?
I'm just going to put it right out there. I'm pretty sure
September.
We got some snow. End of September. It didn't stick. Mm. It was flurries, but I'm sure we saw some snow.
Mm. That might be a little too much.
And then you're frozen like October until April.
Okay, yeah, that's too much for me. I do need some sunshine.
So if we're going to go to Michigan, and I might go soon, if we're going to go to Michigan as a show, and I think the entire show should go.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie, we're gonna actually station you in Alaska, and then the rest of us will go to Michigan.
Okay, yeah.
And then you can really tell us what it's like to be cold.
Can I do it in the summertime?
To be in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, do you think it's not cold in Alaska in the summertime?
I am sure, but not as cold as a winter.
Now, how far away did you go on your little vacation?
We went to New Orleans.
Oh, so you stayed in the heat.
I did. Oh, we did. Very much so, yes.
Why did I think you were going to Missouri? You didn't go to Missouri?
No. Why did you have that in your head?
St. Louis for some reason popped in my brain. I thought you were going.
No, I went last year. We went last year on our road trip. Not this year.
That's what I try to do. I try to stay about a year behind on your vacation
trips. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
All right, so there you go. So we've got, the team is all over the place today. This is what we do.
We
have technology now, which will allow us to do like radio from anywhere now. So we're going to see, we're going to put that into play soon. Not sure if I'm going to go to Michigan, but we're certainly going to go to Florida soon. And then
I think
we're going to be going to, I can't say who I might interview, but I might be going to Washington in September.
Really? But you're not going to tell us who, right?
I cannot say
who
I might be able to talk to.
Have you interviewed that person before in person?
Some would say there's a good chance.
Mm. Are you going to take the crew with you when you go?
I suggested it, but that was nixed.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
By people higher than me.
Mm. They didn't want us with you.
They were like, it would be cool if you came here for this thing, but leave that Lockie back there in San Antonio.
Leave
I was like,
the girl.
Listen.
Yeah.
Wait, the girl, that's what they said, the girl. So I'm not 100% that I'm going to go. So as we get closer, I'll let you know if that's going to happen. But we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Cool.
Sam, do you think we should take more people this time? Because that would kind of, really, I mean, Carrie would be a pain, wouldn't she?
You know, it was great. Just the two of us. Just you and me.
Wow.
Carrie, oh,
Sam
my
is
gosh.
Not taking.
Okay.
I thought she would take up for the girls. I thought that she would come through.
I guess not. Okay.
It's the Michigan weather that's getting to her, I guess. All right. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Got some folks still holding on. They want to talk about some of the stuff we talked about last hour. You know, she's quickly becoming one of my favorites, Carrie.
Who's that?
You know who it is?
Who?
Laura in Colorado. Because she gives me such a hard time.
Oh,
now, I don't know
that.
Which Laura we get today. Either she's going to be nice to me or she's going to yell at me. So let's see which one we get. Laura, what's going on?
Yeah, what are you, Donald Trump? I have to be nice to you?
Yes, I'm Donald Trump. You have to be loyal and nice. Yes.
Oh, I'll swear my oath of fealty right now. This is adversarial. It's supposed to be fun. Sorry, I can't talk.
That's fine. That's fine. Let's go.
I was going to ask you, actually, about your two college campus intrepid reporters. They're delightful. I've got older stuff in my sock drawer than them, but they're fun. But I'm not going to lie. It does bum me out sometimes when I feel like sometimes you kind of cherry-pick these marginalized, wacky stories on the left. And are they silly? Last week with the rainbows, you know, sidewalk thing, whatever it was, it's silly. But when you kind of cut and paste those and put them over all liberals, like all liberals think this, all liberals must that, don't you feel like you're kind of doing a disservice?
No, not even a little bit. Now, when it comes to campusreform.org, go to the website, Laura. You'll see. I'm not cherry picking. Every story is exposing the far left indoctrination on campuses.
Well,
it's not like I can go there and say
school. There was no indoctrination of the left in Catholic school. I
No, but there is now.
Nose tackles.
No, I agree with you, and that's the way it used to be, but there's a change in the tide, and there really is a push now on traditional Catholic schools, on Christian schools, to say we shouldn't be Catholic nor Christian, even though they are. So when they expose it, I think it's important to let people know what's going on out there. Are there stories on the right they can talk about? I guess, but that's not really their mantra. Their system is, you need to know what the indoctrination is that's happening on these campuses. You're not going to believe this story, and then they give it to us.
But let me tell you, last week when Amy was speaking, I was in the car, and I just about out my coffee when she said with all the gravitas that only a 20-year-old with zero life experience can come up with, that, you know, Joe, right. Liberalism is trendy, and you made affirmative noises at her. It's not trendy. I'm 52. I've never been trendy.
Right. Well, no, I'm 51, and I'm way more trendy than you are. So here's the thing. Her name is Abigail, so that's the first thing. Second thing is, when she said that, she's right. It is trendy to be liberal. It's trendy to be anti what's in the White House now, and he's seen as somebody who's the opposite of liberal. If you don't think that's true, you have to go to their website. And you're a smart lady. Laura, I would think that you can go to campusreform.org and say, wow, I really can't dispute this crap because they went and reported it. I mean, go and watch the guy Cabot, who he reported on today. Cabot went to this campus and talked about the so-called gay wedding cakes and then gave other examples of would this be okay, and these students walked away going, wow, I just contradicted myself.
But sometimes if you have a preordained conclusion to your story and you formulate the questions in such a way that they're going to give you the answer that you want, is that really proper journalism?
Well, it isn't, but that's not what they did. Again, he's not giving a loaded question. He's saying, this is what the Supreme Court said about this couple wanting this cake and how this cake baker was treated because he said no over his First Amendment rights to worship as he sees fit.
Well,
when you go there and say, here's what... Hold on. Because I like what you said. I was a journalist for a long time. Carrie, have I won awards?
Many, many awards.
Polo and Carrie make fun of me because they talk about my awards. I won many awards, 28 AP awards in journalism.
Well,
so
I have no journalistic awards, but I know that 2 + 2 never
equals 5. Well, no, you're right, and it doesn't. So if there's something that was fallacious in how he presented it, he said, here's the gay couple. They wanted the cake for their gay wedding. A gay wedding is against the religious beliefs of this baker. The baker said, I can't do it because of my religious beliefs. And then he was treated like crap by some commission in Colorado. And the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, said, you can't treat him like crap. He's got First Amendment rights. So Cabot goes to campus. He presents the story and says, what do you think? And obviously, the indoctrinated lefties on campus said, we think it's wrong. Just bake the cake. You're just a baker.
What do you base it on?
I'm basing it on their answers to him until he gave them more information, like, should a Jewish baker have to do this? Should a Muslim baker have to do that? Should a black baker have to do this? And they said, oh, now that I'm thinking about it, instead of, you know, relying on what I've been forced to believe here at this campus, now you've opened my eyes and I can be a real free thinker. Laura, I think it's good. Why would you think it's bad that young people actually use their brains?
Jewish bakeries are refusing to make cakes for, say, you know, Ramadan, although I guess they don't eat during Ramadan, but, you know,
that was a really bad example. You're right. They don't eat during Ramadan.
Any holiday you celebrate by not eating,
right,
I'm not a part of.
Right. Me either. Trust me. No. I hear you. Are there true examples? Yes.
Right.
There are true examples of where I think somebody at Walmart said, I'm not going to bake a cake that says praise Hitler. Somebody tried to get Hail Hitler or something done, and they said no, and everybody supported them. So the idea that this is somehow made up and it's not true and it's a straw man, that's not the case.
There are cases
where so-called journalists walked into a pizza place in middle of nowhere, Indiana, and said, do you believe in gay marriage? Now think about that. How dumb is that? So these places are being set up because if they say I'm against gay marriage, nobody should buy pizza there. If they say they're against gay wedding cakes, nobody should buy, you know, any baked goods from there. This is the left in this country. Laura, you're smart. You know this. They are going in and setting these places up. And I'll let you answer in a second, but I just want to finish the thought.
Right.
They're setting these places up to be bigoted, according to them, and to be anti-something or something phobic, according to them, and they're trying to shut them down because they're trying to build a society that they want where anybody has to do anything I say or else they're in trouble. Go ahead.
Boy, I'm busy. I didn't know I was doing all that. But a couple of things. One,
not you. I'm not talking about you.
But I am liberal. So if you mean the other liberals, well, that's not really fair. If you're going to call me out, call me out. But the bottom line is that we don't think as a
I'm calling out the specific people that did it, Laura. No, no, stop. You're generalizing, and I'm not. I'm talking about the specific people that ordered the cake, the specific people that went to the pizza place, the specific students that answered Cabot's questions. I'm not talking about you.
But here's the beautiful thing about that. Let me go where I'm going, and I'll get off the phone. My point is this. Everybody talks about their First Amendment rights as though they're sacrosanct, and they are, but then they don't think that they have consequences. So if I walk into your store and I ask you if you disagree with gay marriage and you say absolutely, guess what my remedy is? My remedy is to go out, go on Facebook, and tell everybody I know that you're a bigot, because you are.
Guess what? You and I agree. That's not what happened here. Don't you see why the Supreme Court ruled the way it did? Because the government cannot, hold on, the government cannot persecute nor prosecute you because of your religious beliefs, unless your religious beliefs say shoot somebody in the head. The bottom line is, this baker was pushed out of business and fined inordinate amounts of money by the government because of his First Amendment religious beliefs. That's a problem. Do I believe in free enterprise in the marketplace deciding whether this guy survives? Of course I believe in that. If you don't want to shop there, and if enough people believe your review, they won't shop there either. But the government shouldn't be the one doing it. Of course we agree, right?
We agree on that partially, but like I said, the one I brought up last week, which I think is still
partially how?
What about when they start doing these moral checklists? It's cherry picking. It's when people, like, I'm religiously appalled here, here, and here, but not there, there, and there.
Well, give me examples.
A lot of stuff that scripture says.
Give me examples. Well, I mean, if you walk in and say, make me a cake that shows off the fact that that I love sex out of wedlock, or I love, infidelity. I mean, I think the cake baker has the same right to say, I'm not going to do that. That's against my religion. It's the same thing with gay marriage. So I don't know what, either you can give me specific examples of where they're saying, well, that sin is okay, but this sin isn't. I'll listen.
But that was my point. I mean, imagine that, you go into a store and into a bake shop, you're going to get married, and they start asking you, is this your first marriage? Do you have any kids out of wedlock? You didn't do the nasty before you got married, did you? Can't be having that. You don't.
That isn't why we're here. We're not here because the baker did not ask those questions. Two men walked in and said, we're going to get married. That tells the baker that all he needs to know. I don't think it's any of his business to delve any further into that. The fact is, there are two dudes standing in front of him saying, we're about to go do something you believe is a sin and you've got to take part. Laura, I love you. I think you make great arguments. I don't think you've won yet, but I think you make great arguments and we should talk more often. I like when Laura calls in, Carrie, because she engages my brain.
I know. I like it's that. A good back and forth, isn't it?
And she starts, becoming somebody who becomes self-effacing a little bit, which is the way I live as well. Mm-hmm. The first time she called in, she wasn't that person at all. And I think that she sort of gets what we're doing now. Don't agree with where she's coming from. But at the same time, I completely respect the fact that she's pretty steeped in it. The one thing, and before we go to break, we're very late for a break, but the one thing that I do want to say, painting all liberals one way, I agree with her. That shouldn't be the case. But we've given specific examples. This liberal couple, this liberal person on campus, this liberal person who walked into a pizza place and shut it down because they didn't believe in gay marriage. That's what we're talking about. And whether you like it or not, if you do a poll, and Carrie does polls all the time, if you do a poll, it turns out that most liberals agree with these activities. That's the problem here. Laura, I do appreciate you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Hey, great to have you. It is the Joe Pag Show. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Go there. And if you're just joining us, I want to reiterate that I've got a way now that I could send you a message from my Facebook page, but you have to sort of go and send me a message first. Here's how it works. Go to my website, joepags.com, and click on Facebook. Once you're there, you'll see send message on the page. Click that, and then you'll automatically be signed up to messages that I send out, about one a day. That'll give you updates on stories that we're doing, interviews that we're going to have on, the fact that Carrie was back today. I think because so many people heard that you were back today, Carrie, that's why the ratings are so high.
I betcha, right?
That's now, awesome. You weren't here yesterday, but in San Antonio specifically, our ratings through the roof. Just crazy great book.
Wow.
So thank you to the listeners in San Antonio. We appreciate you. And I think it had a lot to do with you being off a lot last month. So 1-800. I did a poll, and it's 75-25 is what the poll results were.
I do not believe that.
I'm not saying which one is 75, which one is 25, but that's what the poll results were. 1-800-383-9624. So you're exhausted, huh? What are you going to do this weekend? You got to be beat.
Ooh, I am, man. Working 8 hours this week is it's tiring.
When you haven't read the news for 4, 5, 6 days, do you find yourself wandering a bit reading the news, or are you still right on your game?
I like to think I'm still right on my game. I was definitely ready to come back today.
First newscast today I heard was kind of rough.
I heard there was a lot of... You're being so nice to me. I was,
but you know what? You didn't take it well. And when you're not going to take compliments, I got to go back to being who we normally are.
Yeah.
Look, we've been doing this for 2.5 hours tonight. I'm over being nice to you, okay?
Okay. All right.
How about the people on Facebook that write me and say, you know, she can sue you because of all that harassment you give her. People have actually said that to me.
Come on.
Other people understand. Other people get it. Other people do get it. Again, Facebook.com/Joe Talk Show, or just go to JoePags.com and click on the Facebook link and go send me a message. You'll be on that list. We're coming right back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
It's our Father's Day edition. Papa Top to Pop. We're going to pay tribute to dads. Coming up at 8 on the Michael Berry Show.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. All of that and more. Glad to have you along for the ride. A lot of people signing up for messages. And again, just go to my Facebook page via JoePags.com. Click on send message and write whatever you want to write in there. I probably should have said that, Carrie, because now they're just going to write dumb stuff.
I know, because I was thinking, what do I write? Is there something specific? Or I'll just write you a little message.
I think what happens is you click on get started. Because when you go to my Facebook page, you click on send message, get started is there. You have to click on get started, and that'll actually send the message get started, and that starts you on getting the messages. Have you done it yet? So just click
on
that.
I'm doing it right now. Okay.
And then when I send out the message tomorrow, you'll get a message saying, here's what's coming up in the program, here's what time it starts, here's how you can listen and whatever.
Okay.
Pretty cool, right?
I got it. Did it.
Well, something there. All right. We've got a lot of people on the phone line, and a couple of people want to talk about this Father's Day card. Carrie, have you got an opinion on the Father's Day card, baby daddy? Is that out of line?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I've used that term, and I was telling Paula during one of the breaks, we're talking about Father's Day with my husband, and I used that term. I mean, should I not anymore? Is it not politically correct? He is the father of my children.
You are Lily White. I mean, almost translucent. You're so white.
Stop.
You're
like Casper White. I'm not that pasty.
So, I think you saying baby daddy, that could be cultural appropriation.
Oh, sure.
Was this woman trying to claim that it was cultural appropriation to even say baby daddy?
That's what I'm thinking.
And again, inside the card, this is a part that a lot of people missed. Inside the card, it talks about a husband, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And then at the end, I think it also mentions baby daddy at the end on the inside of the card.
Yeah.
I mean, as a greeting card company, you know what? You want to make some money, you know, put out a lot of different cards for everybody to choose from.
I agree with that angle completely, but I find nothing specifically offensive about this one.
Yeah, I did not either.
Just putting it out there. Let me go to Amber and see what she thinks. Amber is online too. Hi, what's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to talk. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I wanted to talk about the card. I have a husband who's Mexican and primarily speaks Spanish. So when I have to go to the store and buy a Father's Day card or a birthday card or even a birthday card for our daughter or son, you know, in Spanish, I don't go to a specific store to look for that. You know, if they don't have it, I'm not.
I get where you're coming from. If you go to the store and there's not a Happy Father's Day card for your baby daddy, who primarily speaks Spanish, and he's Mexican, if they don't have a card that depicts a Mexican guy and all the wording is in Spanish, it's like, not like you're going to walk out and say, forget it, I'm not going to get him a card, right?
Right. I'll go to another
store. That would be kind of silly, right?
Another store who does have a Spanish, you know, section or whatever. And what is this coming to? Like, do we need to have, like, a Chinese, like, section and, like, all this other stuff? And, like, or...
Right.
Picture. Do we need to have a Chinese picture or a mixed family?
Well, I don't think that you meant to do this, but let me throw this out there. I've got a daughter who's from China. Her name is Gia. I went and adopted her in China, you know, 8 years ago, and she got me. And she actually made me a Father's Day card the other day. And it was beautiful and it was wonderful. But let's say she wanted to buy me one and it depicts a father holding a daughter. Does the daughter have to be Chinese?
Exactly.
That'd be kind of dumb, wouldn't it? I mean, that's silly.
Yes, exactly. So
like, no, Amber, are you fluent in Spanish, or do you and your husband just not talk?
I would say.
How does that work?
Yes.
Okay, well, God bless you, because I was going to say, Carrie, that would suck, wouldn't it?
They'd be like, a little bit. They can communicate with each other.
What do you want for dinner tonight, Kay? And like, he has no clue what she's saying. That would be amazing.
I'm sure they make it work.
Well, it works really well when we have discussions and we say, oh, I don't know what I'm
saying. I have no idea what you're saying. Look, Amber, great phone call. I appreciate you. That's I'm telling you.
That's perfect.
She's right on.
I understand. Yeah.
Can you? I said, listen. Don't tell her because she's not listening. Mm-hmm. Sam, don't tell your mother.
Okay.
I don't really speak Italian. But when my wife gets on me, I start speaking Italian, like I'm like just making words up. I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying, woman.
Yeah, we're
I'm
all
telling
tell
you,
her that.
It works.
All
no,
I'm
that's
tell her.
That's it. Yeah. Sam, do not tell her.
I don't think you do that. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
No.
Io yeah. parlato italiano. Si.
No.
Macaroni.
No.
No. It's what? I know how to speak the language.
Sounds like. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Different kind
I
of
nailed
pastas.
It. I think I just said I speak rigatoni. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Carl is in Alabama. Carl, what's going on?
Yes, sir. We've been sitting here. Just we appreciate you a lot, Joe. Down
Thank you.
Here. And we want
appreciate
you, to come
you man.
When you go to Florida, we want you to come to Montgomery.
Well, if we drive to Florida, I don't see why I couldn't stop in Alabama. I got quite a few stations in Alabama now. I wouldn't mind doing that. That'd be great.
It's wonderful. We would appreciate you here in the capital, Montgomery.
Beautiful. All right, what's on your mind, Carl? I like it. I appreciate the invitation.
Yes, sir. You're more than welcome here. We would appreciate a little bit of just some good people coming here.
Well, I'm thinking about sending Carrie, to be honest with you, next week. We just send Carrie like next Wednesday to Montgomery. Carrie, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm down for it. Let's go.
Okay. She's on her way. We're going to fly her coach. All right. So what's going on, Carl?
This is what I call their brand of social justice. If it doesn't fit what they think their ideas are, they condemn your ideas. There's no free speech. So when they condemn you, you don't have any, your First Amendment rights goes away. You don't have anything. If you say anything a little bit against somebody, they say you're wrong and they castricize you and they don't give you a chance. There's no free speech left.
Well, I agree with you. Those who say they're tolerant aren't. Those who say they're accepting aren't. They're not tolerant or accepting of people who disagree with them. It's like the guy I talked about on Facebook that was lighting me up because I dared write to him at 3:38 in the morning or something. I mean, that was his winning argument to shut me down. When I was doling out facts and how I believed and what I felt via my First Amendment, this guy was going on and on about what a horrible bully I was because I had a different opinion. This is what's happening with the card. You're a bully, you're vilifying, you're a racist, you're a bigot because you made a card. That woman, Carl, as you know, could have just not looked at the card and moved on and gotten a different one.
I dated a French lady, so what was I supposed to do? Say all français?
Exactly. You're supposed to. Exactly right. Carl, thank you. Carl just spoke his Alabama version of French. En français, oui, oui. Mm. Yes, that's what should have happened. You know, when I interviewed Tony Parker some years ago, I did speak the French to him.
What did you say? You embarrassed
it was very,
us, I'm
very,
sure.
No, I did not. What I said was, j'ai un ami dans la classe française. And he was like, oh, oui, very good.
What did you say? I don't know what that is. What is it?
I said, I have a friend in French class.
Oh.
It's because,
okay. Because
I remember that from 11th grade French. Are you kidding me?
Nice. Very nice. Sure.
J'ai tout français dans l'école. I'm telling you, I nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
I studied French in school.
Hmm.
Exactly. What is he? Don't say that. That means I love you a lot. Don't say that to me.
I know, but I'm not saying it to
Ew,
you.
Disgusting.
I just said it. I did
Ew.
Not say that to
Ew.
You. I didn't say that to you.
The hell was that?
That's the only French
you
I
didn't
know.
Go back on vacation. That was gross.
I wasn't saying that to you.
I would have apologized to everybody listening.
No. Seriously.
1-800-383-9624. Joe Peck. Oh, you should turn red because that was out of line.
I wasn't talking
like, I
about
get it.
You.
I get it, but listen,
no,
stop it.
You don't get it. No.
What,
no,
if, what
no,
are you talking about?
No,
I get?
No.
I totally get
so
it.
So wrong. No.
I get it.
No.
I'm just saying. Welcome back, Carrie. Let me go back to the phone line. Actually, Carrie, if you would, before we hit the break here, give me the story of Netflix, which is, to me, Another sign of the times. We're approaching the apocalypse. Go ahead.
From IJR, in this era of Me Too, corporate executives are struggling to find the best way to combat sexual misconduct in the workplace. Netflix's latest policies, it seems, could be a bit of an overcorrection. The new policies reportedly not only ban Netflix staffers from asking colleagues for phone numbers, they also bar them from looking at one another for more than 5 seconds, according to The Sun. These new regulations apparently came
up. I'm sorry. It sounded like you said you can't look at somebody for 5 seconds.
For more than
that's
5 seconds.
Sounded like you said.
That is
can
what
you read
said.
It again? Because I think you might be rusty from the vacation.
The new policies reportedly not only ban Netflix staffers from asking colleagues for phone numbers, they also bar them from looking at one another for more than 5 seconds.
Because it sounds like you're saying they can't look at each other for 5 seconds.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what it sounds. Can you say it in French and don't say je t'aime?
I cannot.
Can you say it in French at all,
I'm not,
please?
I'm not doing it in French, no. Isn't that crazy? These new regulations apparently came after senior staffers attended a harassment meeting to learn what is and isn't appropriate. A source told the news outlet they learned looking at someone else for more than 5 seconds is considered creepy. And you mustn't ask for someone else's number unless they've given permission for it to be distributed, the source says. And if you see any unwanted behavior, report it immediately.
Stop. How do you live in that kind of life? You cannot ask for the number unless they offer it?
Right. Unless they say yes, it can be distributed. Yes, I can give it out.
Second.
You have my permission.
Well, I don't understand. So if I ask you for your phone number, which I do have, you have mine.
Yeah.
The whole staff have each other's phone numbers. I can't ask you for the phone number until you preemptively tell people it's going to be okay to distribute my phone number. Then I can say, can I have your phone number?
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Why is getting a phone number? So am I sexually harassing you because I have your number?
Apparently, yes.
No, that's not the right answer.
Well,
no.
Listen to these other new rules. Shout, stop, don't do that again if a colleague has been inappropriate. Don't give lingering hugs or touch anyone for a lengthy period of time. Don't flirt. Don't ask out a colleague more than once if they have said no. Steer clear of a colleague once they have said they are not interested in you. Don't ask for a colleague's phone number. Report a colleague who has given unwanted attention.
Let's try to put this into action. Ask me for my phone number.
Joe, can I have your phone number?
No! Stop it! It does. It works. I think that's pretty good.
Okay. I don't want it.
Can you a bunch of ass wagons sat around some corporate, table and came up with these rules?
I have five seconds. If I have to seriously ask you, we work together, and I need to talk to you. I can't look at you for more than 5 seconds. I have to look down while we're having this conversation.
You have to get to 4.5 and look away.
Oh, okay.
This is
for another 5 seconds,
like.
And I can look back up at you.
Hey, Carrie.
These are crazy.
Look away. Hey, Carrie, I just... Because if I look for more... if I look for 5.5 or 6...
Oh, you can't
clearly,
do 6.
It's a Me Too moment.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I'm telling you, the Me Too movement, as important as it is, it's shooting itself in the foot. And it's getting dumb. Don't be dumb. Make this really about protecting women and stopping sexual harassment and sexual abuse. Don't be stupid and make it about I can't ask somebody for a phone number. Stop it. Carrie, did you have anything to say?
You're supposed to say, stop. Don't do that again. Shout it.
I'm going to start doing that in the middle of your news stories. Would that be okay?
No, it would not be okay.
What?
It is not cool.
Sometimes they're annoying. Sometimes I feel violated by your news stories.
No,
I'm
going to
put it right at that. Don't do that! That's strange, dude. Netflix has jumped the shark. I'm telling you, it's just so crazy to me. The first they hire Obama, now they have all... Seriously, this is what Netflix... They're purposely trying to go out of business.
Mm.
Like, if YouTube TV ever does anything smart and they stop squelching righty voices, they might actually be very successful. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Updating you with the news that matters, coming up at the top of the hour on News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Hey, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks to Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Lots going on, lots to get to, lots to talk about. We appreciate you. Before we move on, we've got a lot of people on the phone lines on a Free Speech Friday, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. A lot of people going in and writing. The funniest thing anybody sent me in a message so far on the page, Carrie, because they want to be signed up for the thing, is a guy sent me just a picture of Hillary Clinton. I just don't think that's appropriate.
Okay. Huh.
Why is that what I have to get? No, I did. I
did
implored
you get
people
mine?
to go to. I did. I got yours, but yours was just get started. I mean, it was boring.
Well, hello. That's what you told me to put. At first I said hi, I said get
can.
Started. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Excuse
yeah,
me. No, at least I did it.
Meh. I am able to delete some people off the list. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. I don't know if you think about your circulation, but you should. Circulation is something that if you don't monitor, it could lead to health issues. It's crucial to energy and stamina. It gets oxygen and nutrients flowing throughout your body so you can exercise longer, do more everyday activities, and recover quicker. So what can you do to promote healthy circulation? It's hard to think about, right? What the heck do you do? Well, you drink Super Beets. Super Beets promotes the body's own natural ability to produce healthier circulation for increased energy and stamina all day long. Only Super Beets is made from beets grown to exacting standards and concentrated in a superfood crystal. So if you want to improve your circulation, call 800-516-8389, 1-800-516-8389, or go online. JoeLovesBeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beets absolutely free, plus indicator strips to see how Super Beets is working for you, and free shipping. And no, it doesn't taste like beets. I wouldn't drink it then because I don't like beets. This tastes great. Call 800-516-8389 or go online, JoeLovesBeets.com. Do it right now. We go to the phone lines in the time remaining before we do some pop culture. Going to be line one. Jim is in Mississippi. Jim, what's going on?
Well, Joe, from what I've heard about the Inspector General's report, it appears that Hillary's closet computer was used for her to contact President Obama unofficially. And, you know, if they are not going to indict Hillary, because if they indict Hillary, they would have to indict the ex-president of the United States, and that simply is not going to happen. I personally believe that Hillary and Bill have taken a page out of the playbook of J. Edgar Hoover, and they have something or know something about every person in the Congress of the United States of America, because that's the reason that J. Edgar stayed up there so long and nobody ever took him out. I personally believe that that is the reason that Jeff, whatever his
Sessions.
Name is, the Attorney General, he
recused
himself from having anything to do with prosecuting Hillary.
Well, I got to tell you this, and Jim, I appreciate what you're saying. I do believe it's a bit of a conspiracy theory, but the Clintons must have something on somebody. It makes no sense to me that they were so squeaky clean and got all the great coverage and got all of the backing of the media and Hollywood and music. I mean, there's nothing lovable about Hillary Clinton. Bill Clinton, I could see as a salesman, but Hillary Clinton to have that kind of power, they have to have something on somebody. And he's right. The Inspector General did show that the former President Barack Obama, through a pseudonym, was contacting Hillary Clinton on her off-campus server, which should be a major problem, but nobody's making much out of it. Pop culture. Pop! Dirty Pop. All right, Polo, do it.
All right, so I'm going to talk about something. Hopefully it doesn't upset you.
Okay.
Because I'm sure that you have, you know, personal ties to this. But
let's go.
So they're talking about John Travolta's new movie, Gotti.
Right.
And they're saying that it's at a zero rating on Rotten Tomatoes. They're saying it's
I'm
horrible.
Fine with that. I have no allegiance to John Gotti. So
I'm fine with
the movie sucking, yes.
Yeah, so go ahead.
We got to go. There you go. All right, for Polo, I don't know why I would be upset. For Carrie, for Karina, for Sam, Joe Pags, see you Monday.
This.
Are you at the...